Amen. I just believe you came ready to receive the word of God here tonight. You came ready to worship, praise Him, glorify Him. Amen. Receive the truth with joy tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to see everybody. I just love Wednesday nights. I don't know about you, you know. I'm pretty sure you do. You probably wouldn't be here if you didn't. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that had the opportunity to be here, and some didn't show, but you did. Amen. Of course, we got a full house here. It's really great to see everybody on a Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. So you're hungry for God's word. Amen. Well, join me over there in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to call this message tonight, The Importance of Bible Doctrine. The importance of Bible doctrine. Now, when you hear a title like that, you probably think, oh, great, this is going to be, you know, boring, or it seems like it could be dry. Oh, no. The message that you will hear tonight, there is no more important message that you would hear outside of, unless you were unsaved, hearing the message of salvation for the first time. Besides that, this would be considered right there at the top of the list for important messages that you could ever hear. The importance of Bible doctrine. Folks, we are living in the days, of course, of the church on this earth. And yet we are seeing, you know, more and more, you know, and I'm not saying you might not be completely aware of all this stuff. It's my job, though, as a pastor to keep you safe. All right. And more, there's just, you know, such a lack of Bible doctrine, you know, in the body of Christ. I mean, if you watch any, you know, Christian TV, which I don't. but I've been on Christian TV. I'm not saying that there isn't good things out there, but I'm just saying that if you're aware of, you know, kind of the body of Christ in general, and actually even within the Pentecostal camp, there's getting more and more preachers ministering on their experience, more ministers ministering on, you know, following finances, that faith is for finances almost exclusively. We have to be careful, you know, that we teach right out of the pages of the Bible. Amen. And we don't accept any other doctrine than the doctrine that is in the Word of God. You know, it is not my opinion that matters. It is not my experiences that matter. It's not my relationships that matter. You know what I mean by that? My connections to other ministers or my relationships or friendships or anything. What is the most important in a church is the Bible doctrine. We don't come to this church because of our new playground. We don't come to this church because of, you know, our building or our music or our children's programs. We don't gather together in Jesus' name for anything less than true Bible doctrine. Amen. You know, like I said, we're seeing in the body of Christ today, all of a sudden now the impulses of the human mind are followed more than Scripture. You know, what a minister, you know, wants, or we're being told that we follow somebody because they know how to get their hands on lots of money. Wrong. You don't follow somebody for that. You do not ever follow somebody. We're all of a sudden the spirit of faith is being reduced to the definition. If they know how to have finances, they have the spirit of faith. Or if they're not afraid of how much something costs, you know, or if they're not, if they live in an expensive house, they must have the spirit of faith. Wrong. You don't ever judge somebody. You don't judge a minister. You don't judge their holiness or their righteousness by the price of their house, by the price of their car, or what they have. Amen. You cannot lead a church. You cannot follow somebody based on those things. Amen. We're starting to see where preachers are preaching their belongings more than Bible doctrine. You know, if I ever get up here and start preaching to you how much something is that I have, all right, that is the first sign of error. You don't preach how much the house you live in is. You don't preach how much, you know, the car you're driving is. Be very careful about that stuff, because that stuff is not things that will feed your life. Amen. And we're seeing more and more of this stuff in the body of Christ. You know, churches trying to scramble to entertain people. They're throwing shows and plays and dances in the sanctuary. They're scrambling to entertain and make their church look more like a dance club. You know, they're more concerned about what CD their worship team just put out. We have to be careful, because the reason why we're here is to hear the truth. The reason why we're here is to hear Bible doctrine, and not just, you know, we're not here to preach someone else's vision. We're not here to preach someone else's experience in God. We are here to preach the Word of God. Amen. And the body of Christ is getting more and more progressively away from the pages of the Bible and starting to look nothing like what is written in here. You know, it's happening even in Pentecostal circles. It's happening even in circles that we're fond of and people that we love and know and care about. We got to be careful. Like I said, you know, I believe in loyalty. I believe in honor. I believe in being connected properly in the body of Christ. But loyalty and honor will only go as far as the doctrine is correct. Amen. You're not connected to me because of my personality. You don't follow your pastor. You don't follow their leading because of their political beliefs. You know, you stay in a local church because the doctrine is scriptural, because the doctrine is true. Amen. That is first and foremost. And we just want to, you know, do a little house cleaning here tonight. Keep the house safe. Keep the house clean. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you found over there in Matthew chapter 7? You say, well, Pastor, you know, oh boy, you seem to be getting tough. You seem to be getting bold. Yeah, because you better in these days. Because as this earth gets darker and darker, we're going to need people that will more and more preach Bible doctrine, teach you the things out of the Word of God, and not just preach their experience. Amen. Or just make it about who they're following, and so on and so forth. Whoa, boy. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word here tonight? We're going to start there in verse 24, but you know what? You know, why don't we back up three verses and start at verse 21? I wasn't originally going to preach, you know, out of starting here in verse 21, but let's go to Matthew 7. We'll start in 21. We're going to start in 24. How many of you know the words in my Bible are red? And if you have a red letter Bible, they're red in your Bible too, because that means what? Jesus is speaking, right? And look what Jesus says here. I don't know about you, but this passage has, how could I say it? For the lack of a better word, it has troubled me for a long time. You know, it has troubled me a long time. And honestly, when I read this passage of Scripture, I don't think of many denominations. I think about Pentecostals. Watch what Jesus says here. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let's go to verse 22. Praise the Lord. Look at this. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils or demons? And in your name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus says, will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Isn't that an interesting three verses there? You know, because as I look at the body of Christ, you know, on the face of the earth today, the ones that are prophesying, the ones that are casting out devils, the ones that are doing the wonderful works in the name of the Lord, you know, are mostly, you know, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Pentecostal Christians. You know, if you say, oh my goodness, that really seems exclusive, or, you know, he's trying to elevate that section of Christianity. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that as it looks up, many denominations today don't even believe in prophesying. Many denominations today don't even believe in casting out demons. You know, many denominations don't believe in these things, but of course amongst the Pentecostals, many of them do believe that and have seen that, you know. But notice this scripture, you know, Jesus saying, he said, they will proclaim in that day, but Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We cast out demons in your name. We did a lot of good in your name. And Jesus said, yeah, but I didn't know you. He said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so there was something there that they were doing these things on their own and for themselves. They were bringing notoriety to themselves. They were looking to build their kingdom instead of building God's kingdom. We have to be very careful about that. You know, and so I just threw those verses in there. That's free, no charge. Because I hope those verses rattle you like they rattle me. That you can do all the greatest things in the name of Jesus, but if you don't know him, if you don't fellowship with him, if you don't do things his way, all right, amen. You know, and ultimately, you're going to see what this passage is about. Look at verse 24. Notice the very first word of verse 24, therefore. Why is he saying therefore? What is that therefore? Because he's now going to explain or connect. What he's about to say is explaining those last three verses about how people will prophesy in his name, cast out demons in his name, and still won't know the Lord. He says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. All right, now, of course, we have to keep reading here. Verse 25, he says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. All right. And of course, verse 29 says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. But go back up to verse 28. So now the Bible just says everything from at least where we were reading, from verse 21 to the end of the chapter, the Bible called it doctrine. It called it doctrine. All right, let me give you a definition for what doctrine is. You say, well, I know what doctrine is. Well, we'll see if you know, and if you do, well, good, you get to hear it again, all right? The word doctrine just simply means what you've been taught. It means what you've been taught, or it means things that have been taught. Literally, the word doctrine means teaching. Or you could say it this way, the principles that have been taught. That word doctrine there, it also means instructions. Or you could say it this way, instructions of how to build. Instructions of how to build. All right, how many of you know the building that we're sitting in wasn't just built any old way? How many of you know there was a plan? You know, how many of you know that it had to be followed to the T if you were going to get a successful building that's going to last? This building was built to last 300 years. Is what its life expectancy is when we built it. And of course, I've told you about the foundations that are under these arches. This building is one of the only buildings in the area that's actually was built to be earthquake proof. It's actually registered with the federal government that if in an emergency, if a huge earthquake hit this area and leveled all the other buildings, they expect this one to still be standing. And they asked us if they could use it in such a case. And we said, sure, yeah, we'll bring them all in, we'll get them all saved, amen, glory to God. You know, obviously that's not going to happen, but we know that when we built this building, it was built right. Of course, the concrete footers and the foundations that are running along under these arches of this building, they're the size of the footers for the Washington Street Bridge. They're the same size. So this building was built, you know, very well. But how many of you know you can't just haphazardly throw something up and expect it to last or to work? That's what Jesus is saying, what doctrine is. Doctrine is God's instructions how to build his house. And he will not permit somebody cheating one side or the other. How many of you know when God builds, he does not cut corners? He does not go cheap? Amen. He expects his house to be built his way. Amen. You all remember Psalm 127 in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. All right. Meaning if you build something other than God's way, someday it'll be all for nothing. And that's what was going on in verses 21 through 23. People that prophesied in the name of Jesus, people that cast out demons in the name of Jesus, but none of it was God's way. None of it was for him, none of it was by him. All right? And that's why over there in verse 24, that's why Jesus says, therefore, if anyone will hear these sayings of mine and do them, only then are they building correctly. All right? So notice what Jesus called doctrine, his sayings, his words. All right? You have to follow God's word explicitly if your work for the Lord is going to be counted for all eternity. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so again, doctrine is really simply the teaching, the instruction, or the instructions how to build. Doctrine is our priority in all things pertaining to God. If you don't have good doctrine to live by, you don't have a church. If you don't have a good doctrine to live by, you don't have anything to stand the test in the day of trial. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doctrine supersedes any relationship. It supersedes all loyalty and honor. Doctrine supersedes any experience that me or another minister would ever have in prayer. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Doctrine supersedes the need for money or attendance. Doctrine is what we should guard the most, love the most, because it's what we need the most. Doctrine. Doctrine is basically this, what we're taught, the instructions of the Lord, and how to build his house. Amen. So now we're back over there in verse 24 again. He says, whosoever hears these sayings, and remember what these sayings are called? Doctrine. This is doctrine, all right? When something is doctrine, it means you can build your life on it. You know, there's a difference between doctrine and theology. All right, how many of you know there's lots of theology in the Bible? Doctrine is what we live by. Theology is the study of God. All right, theology. For instance, there's a lot of theology in the book of Revelation. How many of you know there's the four horsemen of the apocalypse over there in Revelation chapter 6? All right, you have the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale green horse. All right. How many of you know that when it comes time to, you know, a belief for the healing of your body or belief for your children or whatever it is, you're not thinking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You're thinking about the doctrine of Jesus' name. You're thinking about how to live. You know, when you're tempted to do something wrong, you're not thinking about the theology of the book of Revelation. Now, is theology important? Is it necessary? Absolutely. But just so you know, doctrine is what you live your daily life upon. Doctrine is what we come here to hear God's ways so that we can be doers of his word. Amen. Why do we do the word? Because we want to please him. Amen. We want to just really simply, Lord, okay, this is what you want. I want to do what God wants me to do because I want it to bless his heart. Amen. His doctrine isn't a set of rules. It is us responding to him in love. Glory to God. But notice this. He says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And of course, you know, in verse 25, the rains came, the floods came, the winds beat against that house, and he stood, or it withstood that trial. Amen. And so we need to notice this. Good doctrine will build, strengthen, and stand the test of trial and time. See, notice and remember, he's going to talk about the man who heard the sayings and did them not. His house came crashing down with a great fall. All right? So notice, even the person that built wrong had a house for a time. Notice they had a house for a while. Notice it looked like everything was going just fine as they were building on the sand. But when the test and the trial came, it brought it down. Notice it's doctrine that will determine whether you stand or fall. What you have been taught will get you through that trial. What you've believed, what you've stood on, what you've lived on, what you've heard in your local church was the difference between standing and falling. Glory to God. Notice doctrine was the difference between standing and crashing on your face. It matters what you believe. Now, he's saying that those that take the word of God and don't do it God's way will crash and fall. Just like Psalm 127 says, unless you build it the Lord's way, you build it in vain. All right? How many of you know you gotta stay explicit to the word? It's not my opinions that count. It's not my experiences that count. It's not my personality that counts. It's not this building that counts, or our programs or our music or our playground that counts. The heart and soul of every church is its doctrine. And people will only stand as long as the doctrine is good. And I will tell you this, in every church, there is a pastor. That pastor is the doorway to doctrine in that local church. If I allow wrong doctrine to permeate my life, it'll permeate your life. The responsibility of the pastor is to always guard against false and wrong doctrine. All right? Amen. And when something is wrong, when something is false, when something, you know, could get into the lives of the sheep and hurt them, it is the pastor's responsibility. They cast off any relationship necessary. They defend it at all costs. All right? Whatever it takes to keep the sheep safe, that is the priority of that shepherd. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. And you know, around here, I have always and will always make that promise to you. When, you know, if doctrine, you know, tries to get into this place that is wrong or off, I'll stop it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will not allow it to happen. Glory to God. But know this, you will come out standing, having withstood the test, if you have the right doctrine. Notice the building that lasts is the building that's founded on doing things God's way. Praise the Lord. When the day of trouble comes, it's what you've been taught that will determine the outcome. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one that built on the sand and falls down. All right. And remember, this was all part of the warning about, you know, even verse 21 through 23 was included in there, right? You got to be careful, you know, who's doing what, who's saying what. And my responsibility as a pastor is to always safeguard this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know some of you are sitting here like, oh my goodness, Pastor Tim, what has happened? Is there something going on? You know, is there something happened? No. No, there was nothing, you know, taught here. You know, there was nothing preached here by me or any other ministers. We had a wonderful service last Wednesday with the Durants, and that was just fantastic, and the power of God and wonderful. And nobody that has been in this pulpit recently has taught any false doctrine at all. I'm just preparing to keep this place safe. Praise the Lord. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Go to Matthew chapter 16. All right, so we saw what good doctrine does. Good doctrine will build and strengthen. It'll withstand the test of trial and time. You'll come out standing because you've been taught the right things. Amen. All right. So notice some doctrine is the rock and some doctrine is the sand. Why did the house on the rock stand? Because its foundation was stable. You can build on it. All right, it doesn't shift, it doesn't move, it stays the same. All right, how many of you know there's doctrine out there that's sand? All right, it is my responsibility. You don't get sand here. All right, you don't get sand, you don't get shaky foundation. Amen. Praise the Lord. You get things that you can live on, things that the Bible is solid about. I don't preach my experiences, I don't preach the money I have or I don't have. Amen. Praise the Lord, you know. And when I see these things brewing, you know, around in the body of Christ, when I see them, I just say, not here. Not here. Not here. I will not follow a ministry that promotes wrong doctrine. I will not follow it. I will not support a ministry that publicly supports ones of false doctrine. I won't do it. I will not. And I've made that stand. I have made that promise to you and to the Lord all these 13 years, not just recently. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 16, here's the reason why.
Some of I can tell. I can just sense some of you are sitting here like, what is he trying to say to us? I am preaching the word. That is what I'm doing, and that is what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful that we have strong pastors in the family churches. Pastor Michael has been phenomenal at keeping wrong doctrine out of the family churches. There has not been false doctrine being preached here. We're so grateful to have that net of security. Amen. Praise the Lord, and it will continue. And it will always be a matter of keeping the wrong things out and the right things in. Praise the Lord. I can sense you the concern. People are like, oh, something's happened. Nothing's happened. This is just a message from my heart. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 16. And go over to verse 6. Praise the Lord. Go to Matthew 16 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. This is Jesus again. Glory to God. Look what Jesus said to his disciples. It says, and Jesus said unto them, take heed or beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What's leaven? Isn't that like yeast that's put in bread? All right. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now watch. The disciples aren't very bright in this instance. And watch what they think he's talking about. It says in verse 7, it says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. We forgot to bring the bread, and Jesus is mad. No sandwiches for Jesus, and now he's upset. We've made the boss mad. And then when it says in verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, oh, you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? Amen. Remember that, the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000? He says, how is it that you do not understand that I spoke it not to you concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Now look at verse 12. Then they understood how that Jesus bade them not beware of the leaven in bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what was the leaven that Jesus was talking about? The teaching of the Pharisees. He said, beware of what they teach because it's like leaven. Why would Jesus liken false doctrine to leaven? You know why? Because leaven is very insignificant and very subtle, and it's very easy to pass into something. Leaven is like yeast. It's put into bread, but it's also used to ferment certain drinks, such as beer or wine. All right, it's what creates the fermentation process, which creates alcohol. All right, we know that. And so Jesus says false doctrine, it can get in there very subtly. And just a little bit, once it gets in, it will spread through the whole bunch. It'll go through the entire piece. All right. And when false doctrine gets in there, it goes and it spreads and it changes the entire condition or composition of that place. Isn't that exactly why the Bible says a little leaven leavens the entire lump? All right, what happens when you sit under false doctrine? It will leaven your life. It seems subtle. It seems okay at first, but then all of a sudden it's going to start breaking down. It's going to start changing your life in the direction you don't want to. It's going to, if a pastor allows it, if the pastor gets leavened, then the people are going to start getting leavened. All right. And you cannot just say, how many of you know when you eat a piece of bread, you cannot discriminate between the ingredients? You can't say, I'm going to eat some bread, but I just want the wheat, not the leaven. How many of you know when you eat the wheat, you're going to get the leaven as well? You know, nobody, you know, Christians could say, well, it's okay if I drink beer. I'm just going to drink the beer and not the alcohol. No, wrong. You get the alcohol. I know it doesn't exist. That's why your faces look so funny. But that would be like someone say, oh, I'm not drinking. I'm just drinking the beer, not the alcohol. How many of you know it's in there?
That beer is spoiled with that fermentation process. That bread has leaven in it, and you cannot get just the wheat out of it without eating the leaven. That's the problem with bad doctrine. It gets in there, and it ruins everything. It does not just subject. You cannot go to a minister who preaches false doctrine and say, well, I want to pick and choose the parts of their doctrine that are right, and I want to leave out the stuff that's wrong. You cannot go and say, well, I want their financial teaching, or I want their teaching on this and that, but I understand this, that, and this are all, you know, not correct. No, if you sit under false teaching, you get all of it. It is leaven. Leaven, you can't say leaven, go to that half of the loaf, but not the other half. You cannot say to the fermentation process, hey, the yeast in this batch of wine or beer, just stop at this point. You know, leaven, go to the bottom of the glass when I drink it, which I don't drink it. But you understand. How many of you know you can't command? You can't say, no, I'm only going to take the good parts and not the bad. How many of you know when you sit under wrong teaching, you get all of it, whether you want it or not? And this is what I've been taught for the last 17 years. Praise the Lord for it. You know, I'm so grateful for the likes of Pastor Michael, for Dr. Dufresne, you know, for Reverend Greer, you know, men of great integrity and stature who have, you know, taught and gave warnings. Listen, the body of Christ today is getting just okay with leaven. We're getting more and more. Well, just a little bit of leaven. Just a little bit of false teaching. It's just a little bit. No, Jesus said a little bit's going to go and corrupt the whole bunch. When you become aware of doctrines that are repeatedly and consistently wrong, all right, you cannot sit under that. Say, well, they're not teaching, you know, a message on that today. I'm going to just sit under that when they're teaching something good. No. You're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly all at once. This is the responsibility and the burden of leadership for ministers, that they have to make sure their doctrine is solid and correct and you can live on it. Folks, when I say doctrine, I mean things that are significant. I'm not saying two ministers might disagree on what the red horse in the book of Revelation stands for. I'm talking about major doctrines. Doctrines such as the tithe, all right? Doctrines, we could go, you know, list by list. We have to be careful. You don't just, you know, receive that false doctrine because you like, you know, on another part of their doctrine. That is wrong. It is absolutely wrong. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Folks, and of course, you know, I am not preaching this to turn you into a bunch of witch hunters either. You know what I mean by that? Where you're just always, you know, constantly suspicious of every minister. But we should have the sense and the study to know the word ourselves. And know what is right and know what is wrong. And when you see something that just ain't scriptural, listen, I don't care if I said it. If I say something unscriptural, don't you dare take it. I try my best not to. You know what I mean? But my goodness, I mean, we're going to get into that here in just a little bit, how you make sure you're not deceived by false doctrine. Amen. All right. And so they understood how Jesus bade them to beware, not the leaven that's in bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees. Because a little bit, you know, you just get under there, you know, that leaven's going to get in and it's going to work through your entire life. And it's going to change things that you did not want or expect it to change. Amen and amen. It is the word. And it's not like we're trying to be Bible thumpers. I'm not trying to go after anybody personally or anything. I'm just here to keep this church safe. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, let's talk about three places doctrine can come from. Are you ready? Three places where doctrine can come from. All right. Number one, are you ready? Doctrine can come from men or women. What I mean is mankind or from human beings. All right. Number one, doctrine can come from men. Now, again, if you build on doctrine that is a man-made opinion, guess what it's good for? Nothing. If you build a church on the instructions of man, it will fail. Let me show you this. You can go with me to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at the Amplified Version. If you don't have an Amplified Bible with you, you can just look up here. Let's go to Colossians 2:20. Colossians 2:20. And can you just bring it right up in the Amplified? You can just look up here if it's easier for you. Look at this. Now, we got to read several verses here and understand what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. Okay. Let's start in verse 20. It says, "If then you have died with Christ..." Is that anyone here tonight? Yeah, you've died with Christ. Of course, you rose again with him. "If then you have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things, and if you have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to rules and regulations such as," verse 21, "do not handle this, do not taste that, do not even touch them," verse 22, I'm going to explain what this is, verse 22, praise the Lord, "referring to things all of which perish with being used. To do this is to follow human precepts and doctrines." Notice there are, the Bible calls things human doctrines, things that are taught, but they're not from God, they're from the mind of man. All right, now specifically what it's talking about, what does it mean to when it says, you know, referring to things you don't touch, don't taste this, don't do this? All right, how many of you know there's a lot of things that we shouldn't touch? There's a lot of things that we shouldn't taste, a lot of things we shouldn't do. All right, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about there, you're going to see in verse 23, go to verse 23, "such practices have indeed the outward appearance that properly passes for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor of devotion and delight in self-humiliation and severity of discipline of the body, but they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh, the lower nature. Instead, they do not honor God, but serve only to indulge the flesh." Let me explain what these verses are talking about. When you decide that you are going to not eat chocolate for 2 months to honor God, guess what the scripture says? It meant nothing. When you put a self-made rule on yourself to put your flesh under, guess what it means? Nothing. Some of you are looking shocked. You know, it sounds a lot like Lent. I'm not going to eat meat on Friday. I'm not trying to go after Catholics, but guess what? That's a human-made doctrine. All right, in the days of Paul, what was going on is that there were Christians that were saying, "I will not even handle a piece of meat that came from such and such a temple." And Paul said, "Don't be dumb." He's saying, "You're acting like you're doing God this favor." You know, I hear people all the time, "I am going to put down my favorite music for a month in order to honor God." Guess what? That's a self-imposed rule. That's not how you honor God. "I am going to not eat chocolate. I'm going to not have my favorite candy bar for a week in order to honor God." He said that is called self-imposed rules and regulations that you think honor God, but they just indulge your flesh. How should you diet and maintain your body? Moderation. Moderation. Now, if you're staying away from sweets because you want to lose weight, that's fine. You know what I mean? If you want to be responsible and lose weight or whatever, that's fine. But when you do such things that are your made-up rules, thinking that'll get you closer to God, it won't. Oh, boy, I'm probably rocking your world. Well, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the scripture. He said, because people may have all these man-made rules. It has crept even to religion. You know, if you did such and such wrong, say how many Hail Marys and how many Our Fathers and you'll be forgiven. There's just one problem with that. That doesn't exist in the Word. It's a man-made doctrine. In the old days of Jesus, remember how the Pharisees, they saw the disciples of Jesus just eating, but without washing their hands first. And the Pharisees said, how dare you allow your disciples to eat with unwashed hands? And Jesus said, let me tell you what, it's not the dirt on their hands that's the problem. It's the dirt in your heart that's the problem. And Jesus said, you are teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Remember when Jesus said that? People can make up stuff. The goal here at Family Church, no man-made doctrines. No man-made doctrines. I will never build the doctrine of Family Church based on someone's vision. Not even my own. But I mean, you can say Jesus came in and talked to you for 6 hours and you need to tell me about it. If it doesn't line up with the word, I'm tossing it. Oh, praise the Lord. I know great men and women of God who have had tremendous experiences. That's wonderful. I might use their experiences to illustrate the word, but it is nowhere near equivalent with the word of God. Don't you ever think that your experience or someone else's experience is equal to the word of God. Why? The Bible says that we know, we see in part, we know in part. When you have an experience, even if it's in prayer, even if you see Jesus on a cloud, the Bible says that that's only partial, meaning that you can't completely rely on it. The Bible says that the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. You can only receive those things that are solidly placed within your conscience. Do you understand that? If it's solid with your conscience, if you know it to be true on the inside, that's different. But you understand, you can't take an experience and try to make it your doctrine or someone else's doctrine. Brother Hagin had wonderful experiences, and I hear people stand up and they will preach his experiences as if it is equal with the word of God. It's not equal. I don't quote what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. I don't quote what Jesus said to Dr. Dufresne. Do I believe that Jesus said those things to those men? I sure do. With all my heart, I believe that they had those experiences. I'm saying doctrine is always this. You know, and we're seeing more and more preachers are preaching their experiences. They're preaching what they heard in prayer. They're preaching all this stuff. And then there's very little scripture to go with it. Those things don't come in front of the word. Those things might illustrate the word, but you better bring it back to the Bible. You better get it back to chapter and verse and show us in the word, truth, line by line, precept upon precept. Amen. Praise the Lord. So notice this. Number one place doctrine can come from, it can come from people. Man-made ideas are constantly trying to get into this church. Guess what my job is? No man-made doctrines here. Man-made doctrines. Sending your tithe to a traveling minister is a man-made doctrine. It is man-made. It is not scriptural. It's not permitted here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sitting home, watching somebody on TV and calling it church is a man-made doctrine. It's wrong. All right? Sending your tithe anywhere is wrong because the Bible never says to send your tithe. It says to bring the tithe. Why? What does that mean? You and your tithe are supposed to show up together. That's right. Amen. Absolutely. 100%. And we don't just say, well, it's all right. Other people do this and people just do that. It's all right. No, it's not all right. What does the scripture say? And of course, you know this verse very well, you know, over there in Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? And, you know, and it says, wherein have we robbed you? And God says, yet you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. All right, what happens? And of course, you remember Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat or provision in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Where's the tithe for? The house of the Lord. Okay? But that scripture in verse 8 says, if you know to bring the tithe into the house of the Lord, but yet you don't, what are you doing? Robbing God. And if you're robbing God, what are you? A thief. All right. Why are we okay with ministers? We're not okay with sheep robbing God, but all of a sudden we're okay with ministers robbing God. I'm not okay with that. Not okay with it.
Sorry. Because I'll stand here just like many ministers do. They'll stand here, they'll preach the word boldly, and they said, if you know to be tithing and you're not, you're a thief. You're robbing God. Better be careful. I won't want to find myself following a thief. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here's a second place doctrine can come from. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, I'm not going after anybody personally. It's not personal. It's just business. It's not personal. It's just business. Listen, truth is truth. Every relationship and friendship, if you're going to be, you know, in my life, guess what? Doctrine is going to be an important, you know, subject. I don't mean you can't disagree on points of theology. But I'm saying to be in this church, to preach in this pulpit, you're going to have to be submitted to right doctrine. And if you're not, you don't come here. I don't care who you are. If I get away from right doctrine, I will be removed. You know? Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, I've told my boys this. We've been in stores and stuff, and people are buying alcohol and going out the door. And I'll say, boys, just think what that person just did. And, of course, I'm not saying it to criticize or judge. But if I picked up a 12-pack of beer and walked out of here with it right now and put it in my car, my means of making a living would come to an end for doing something that even a lot of Christians do on a regular basis. It'd come to an end. If I went to Applebee's and ordered a beer with my burger, my ministry would be over. Be over. You say, well, Pastor, are you saying that you want to do that? No, I absolutely don't want to do that. I don't do that. I've told you the last drink I've ever had was January the 18th, 2003. I got 100% delivered. Why? I don't need it anymore. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, glory to God. You know, Dr. Dufresne used to say all the time, we got a lot of sipping Christians. Sipping Christians. I remember he wouldn't even allow a certain well-known Christian worship band songs to be played in his church because they drink. I remember that. Because they drink. And he's like, don't play that music in here. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for men of God who have strong convictions and don't let us walk away from holiness. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. 1 Timothy 4, 1, by the way. Now the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Notice there will be people that will depart from the faith. Okay, depart from the faith, meaning they're in the faith and they leave it. All right? When people say, well, once saved, always saved, it doesn't matter what I do. I about guarantee you what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7 and verse 21 when people prophesy in his name and people cast out demons in his name. Those people were probably once saved. Probably. All right? Now the Spirit is speaking expressly, urgently, that in the latter times some will leave the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What led them astray? A demonic doctrine. The first place doctrine can come from is human beings. Second, doctrine can come from demons. Let me show you this. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Praise the Lord. Told you tonight would be an important service. Aren't you glad you came? But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. All right. Now, you can keep it in the, we'll go back to the King James, that's fine, but let's keep reading in verse 2. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And now it starts to tell us what doctrines demons teach. Look at verse 3. Forbidding to marry. Are there sections of Christianity today that refuse a man to be married? Well, we've had a lot of trouble because of that lately around here, haven't we? In certain sections of Christianity, right? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Boy, that sounds familiar. Which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Verse 4. This is the wonderful grace of the New Testament. Are you ready? For every creature of God is good. Every creature of God is good now. Nothing to be refused. Ooh. If it be received with thanksgiving. Lord, I receive bacon with thanksgiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not under the Old Testament dietary law. Don't try to put me under that bondage again. Because what was it up there? It was called the doctrine of demons. It's called the doctrine of demons. Oh, but pastor, it's just talking about what they eat, and they have a religious ritual, you know, they skip this food here, and they do all this. It's called the doctrine of demons. I didn't say I'm not going after anybody personally. So now, folks, you know, of course, again, I'm not going after denominations and things like that. I'm just speaking the word here. If you got a problem with it, take it up with the scripture. It's what the scripture says. No doubt in our minds right now, we know exactly what section of Christianity refuses their ministers to be married. We know which ones, you know, force people to eat certain meats on different times of the year, and they can't eat meat here and there, and with all that stuff. The Bible calls it a doctrine of demons. All right, so would you want to join yourself? Okay, so what happens when you take somebody who's under the influence of doctrines of demons and you move them into your pulpit to address your people? What is that? That's wrong. You know, I would never bring somebody in from that section of Christianity to talk to you. I never would. Why? Because the scripture makes it abundantly clear that they're under the influence of doctrines of demons. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Doctrines can come from man. They can come from demons. And thirdly, they can come from God. You think this is hard to listen to? You should try preaching this message. Keep you safe. Oh, you know, it's been said, you know, many times that my ministry is not sensational. You know, my ministry isn't very spectacular, but you know what it is? It's safe. It's safe. Praise the Lord. John chapter 7. Go over there. Go to John chapter 7. Glory to God. Something's wrong. It's wrong. No, I'm not turning you into a bunch of witch hunters. You do not go out there and just, you know, you're just, you know, on the prowl for someone who says something that's not scriptural. I'm talking about in the church, the responsibility of the church, your responsibility, what you are to love, to guard, and to hold most dear is doctrine. No relationship. Nothing is more important than it. Nothing is more important than right doctrine. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. John chapter 7 and verse 16. It doesn't matter who walks in here. Listen, if I ever look at you and I tell you something that you know is not true, don't listen to me. I have said that from day one in my ministry. Do not take my word for it alone. Don't believe somebody because they're standing in a pulpit or they have a title. Amen. You will know and see there will be people in these last days, they will depart from what they've been taught and they will follow demonic doctrines. Be careful. Praise the Lord. Some people are just so, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I don't want to preach my message before it's time to preach that part. Go to John 7 and verse 16. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So here's the third place where doctrine comes from. It comes from God. Jesus said, "I'm not here preaching my stuff. I'm not here preaching about my glory. I'm here preaching the doctrine of the Heavenly Father. This is what he wants you to do. This is what he wants you to build your life on. This is the instructions that please his heart. This is what moves him." Amen. Glory to God. All right. All right. This is the role of the minister, to always minister God's doctrine, even if it costs you something. Do you know there's doctrines in the Word of God that you can preach, and the devil will come and he'll knock on my brain and he'll say, you just said that you're going to chase this couple, this family out of your church. It's going to cost you now. How many of you know that can even happen? You can preach the truth out of the Word and offend somebody right out of your church. Do you know how many hundreds of people I've offended in these 13 years? Do you know how many people have gotten downright mad at me, have snarled their teeth in their eyes, have called me, left me messages? There's been people that have threatened my life. There's been people that have sent me emails because they didn't like. We've had voicemails left on the church's answering machine because they did not like what they heard out of the Scripture. All right. And when you preach the Word of God, you can't do so based on who's it going to offend in the seats, who is it going to chase out of here, who's it going to make happy. Listen, you have to build the house the Lord's way, or else you're building it in vain. And every church will see people that will come and go. But we just believe that family church is a Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love your word, and nothing shall offend them. Praise the Lord. Great peace have they that love God's word, and nothing will offend them. When you love God's word, when you want to do God's word, and when you want to please the heart of the Father, you'll be able to handle hearing that stuff. All right? You know, there's times when you can preach certain doctrine, and it could just for temporarily, it could try to hurt the church's finances. I mean, there was, I've told you the stories. There was a gentleman that was in our church many years ago who didn't like what I was, you know, preaching and whatever, wanted different things, wanted things to be done differently at the church. And he had a lot of money and was giving a lot of money to the church on a weekly basis. See, at that point, we have to know and understand our integrity is not for sale. You know, and I told him, I said, I'm sorry, sir, I will not do it. It does not matter if you give this amount of money or that amount of money. It doesn't matter. You cannot buy the doctrine at family church. You can't buy influence here. You can't buy off the pastor. Amen. Glory to God, you know. And we understand that you have to do things and say things as a preacher sometimes that offends people, and it may cost the church temporarily, but it won't cost the church forever. God will make it up. Amen. He will redeem the time. He will restore it back unto you because you refused. You know, we remember, of course, Matthew 6:33 around here, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Dr. Dufresne, he used to say this. He says that word righteousness means doing things the right way. Dr. Dufresne, he would say in the pulpit, he would say to me personally, he's like, you got to be right about it. You got to be right. You got to be right about it. You have to have the right attitude. You got to do things God's way. You have to do it the right way. Jesus said, then all these things will be added to you. There's that time. There's a cost of being bold and faithful to right doctrine. It may cost you something, but it won't cost you something forever. There's times you can stand up for Bible doctrine, and it could cost you friendships. It could cost you relationships. It could cost you time. It could cost you money. But I tell you what. What it won't cost you is being on the wrong side of God's word. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so three places where doctrine comes from: men, demons, and God. We don't want the first two. There's no man-made doctrine here. There's no demonic doctrine here. I can see the look on some of your faces like, this has been a white-knuckle kind of ride for some of you. It's all right. It's okay. Listen, the leadership of your church is not shaken. Not shaken. Praise the Lord. What I've been taught in the Word and what I know in the Word, that's what we'll continue to get. Glory to God. All right. So let's end right here. Are you ready? Four ways to keep wrong doctrine out of your life. Now we're going to help you. All right. You're there in John 7. We just read verse 17. And now verse 16. Now we're going to read verse 17, and it's going to start. Jesus is now going to help us
to keep wrong doctrine out of our life. Look what he says. If any man will do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God and whether I speak of myself. All right. Here's the number one way you will keep wrong doctrine out of your life. Do God's will, not your own. Okay, and you say, what's he talking about here? Notice this in verse 17. If any man is doing the will of God, if you know the word and are doing it, you will know of the doctrine. All right, when you're, you know, downright dedicated in making sure you're doing the word, you will be able to spot wrong doctrine. All right. Again, just because it's an easy thing to understand and we all deal with it. But let's take tithing, for example. All right. We know what the Word of God says about tithing. And then that's why when you hear somebody say, send your tithe to a traveling minister, all of you say instantly, no way. We won't accept it. We won't receive it. Why? Because you're doing the will of the Father. You know what the Word of God says, and you're not going to be led astray. Amen. Glory to God. Submitting to God's will is what will keep you safe. Amen. I say this on a daily basis. Father, I submit myself to your will. Father, the number one thing I want is to know your word, to hear your voice, and to do what you want. Are you submitting yourself to God's will? Are you on a regular basis going before the Lord and getting down on your knees and saying, Father, I submit to your will? You have to constantly consecrate yourself to the will of the Father if you're going to be able to know to spot false doctrine. This is how you'll know false doctrine. Whose kingdom does it build? Look what Jesus says. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus said, you'll know if my doctrine's true. Am I trying to build my kingdom or am I building God the Father's kingdom? See, false doctrine will always constantly be bringing attention back to the one ministering. We should have honor for ministers. We should be grateful for our pastors. But we should not ever worship the ground they walk on. You don't just say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. Then you'll be more faithful to a man than you will be the Lord. Listen, be honorable. This church is honorable. Listen, you know, it's wonderful to honor the ministers of God. We could teach a whole sermon on that right now. But nowhere do you ever follow somebody into false doctrine. You don't ever follow somebody into demise. Paul said this. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. All right. That's how you'll know. Amen. If they're building their own kingdom, if they're building their own will in their own thing, and it does not bring glory back to the Father, you will know. And of course, how do you know? Because it violates the word. Violates the word. If it violates the word, it's not safe for you. Amen. Go with me to Romans chapter 16. Oh, you're receiving pretty well here tonight. You're doing good. Pastor, what is this? This is keeping you safe. A lot of times, you have to preach it just to keep it out. You got to preach it to keep it out. Praise the Lord. I've never done any good thing in my life apart from God. If you have not come to the realization that you apart from Jesus, on your own are a no good nincompoop. Oh, I have come to that full realization that if anything good ever came from my life or ministry, the only possible recognition, the only possible way would be Jesus. Because I know, just like you, you are no doubt familiar with your faults, just like I'm familiar with mine, right? And you just start like, I mean, God is so good. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans 16 and verse 17. Just don't, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to say it. Now I am going to speak close to home. Are you ready? We got too much of this in our camp. We got too much of the baby bird syndrome. All right? You know what I mean by the baby bird syndrome? Brother Hagin used to use that illustration. You ever seen baby birds in a nest when they're just born and their eyes are still closed? We had a nest of sparrows in a little pine tree on the corner of our house last year. And we'd go in there and we'd watch that mommy bird leave. Was it sparrows or starling or whatever it was? You know, something like finches or whatever they were. And we'd look into this tree and there's a nest right there. And there's like three or four baby birds in there. And the mommy would be out, you know, gathering up, you know, whatever. And, you know, I would just go in there and they'd sense, like I'd put my finger in the nest and they would sense that something was near. Their eyes are still closed. But as soon as you do, all their mouths are straight up in the air and they're like, ah, you know, and you could put a pebble in there. Now, I don't do that. That's mean and cruel. I'm just saying those birds are so eager. They will just take and accept anything. You know, and they never question it or they never study it or, you know, they don't look at it. And so many Christians are like that. They'll just take anything a minister says and they'll just give them the benefit of the doubt. And they'll never study it out for themselves. They'll never look for the word themselves. They won't have a personal relationship with the Lord themselves enough to see and to know when doctrine is false. You know, listen, I'm going to say that real close to home here. You know, we have an issue where so many people in our camp, so to speak, are so eager to receive, they don't even scrutinize what they're receiving. Is it in the Word? Well, but Pastor, but we all jumped, shout, and ran around. That don't matter. Listen, if you jump, shout, run around, and then got false doctrine, all right, well, then you just got the poison in the jelly is what you got. And I'm not saying that's happening here. That's not happening in the family churches. I'm just saying, though, we have to be careful. You know, it's amazing how God's people will hoot and holler and run around over something that's false. Come on now. It's like, wait a minute here. You know, and I guess the question is, you know, sometimes is, who's going to say something? You know, when you know, at what point does someone say, wait a minute? See, that's where I will not, you know, just, you know, blindly, you know, go and, you know, and follow in a way, because then it puts you at risk. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to this. Look at Romans 16:17. Yeah, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. And this is the hard part. At times, you will be called in your life to kindly, sweetly, diplomatically avoid. He didn't say preach after them. He didn't say lead a crusade against them. He said, when it's contrary to the doctrine that you've learned, back away and avoid. All right. Amen. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. This is exactly what I'm talking about right here. Are you ready for this word simple? That word simple there in verse 18, it means without guile. So these are sincere people. When the Bible calls them simple, it's not all a criticism. The word simple means they're sincere, without guile. It means fearing no evil, but here's the problem. It means trusting everyone and distrusting nobody. You cannot be a person that just automatically trusts those that stand in the pulpit. Now, you can't be that person that's just trying to be suspicious of everyone in the pulpit either. Don't be a witch hunter. But what the Bible is talking about, like, you have to understand that God puts the responsibility on you to discern what you're hearing in your local church. Or in ministries that are, whether they're on TV or whether they preach here in the pulpit or wherever they are, you have to be very discerning. And that's why I say we have the baby bird syndrome when God did not call us to be baby birds. He did not just call us and say, okay, I just receive anything and everything, no matter what. No, it's got to be the word. Listen, I'll sit there and listen to, you know, like, well, okay. If it's unscriptural, I'm going to hit the brakes. And if it's unscriptural, I'm not going to let it leaven me and then me come in here and leaven you. I'm not going to do that. You know, we should know the word and see what's going on is that's the problem. Christians are not studying their Bibles. Here's the first one I said, you got to do God's will and not your own. You got to submit to God's will if you're going to keep yourself from wrong doctrine. Two, you have to avoid teachers of false doctrine. You need to be sincere, fearing no evil, but you can't just automatically trust. You have to make sure that everything being taught to you passes the word test. It's got to pass the word test. See, that is why, you know, we've had a wonderful church family here. You know, because I just don't believe, you know, we're not here certainly to follow me. We're not here to, you know, just be a part of the church programs or whatever. And we're not just sitting here as baby birds. You're studied. You're well taught. Why do you think? This is why I put the verses on this big wall. We better make sure that the scriptures are bigger than the one preaching it. Glory to God. Avoid teachers of false doctrine. The Bible says avoid them. If it's contrary to what you know you've been taught from the scripture, avoid them. So many Christians, they simply follow whatever they're told without question. They never check up on what they've been taught or told. They trust a minister for their title and their notoriety and not the substance of their words. Our doctrine is the only substance that matters around here. How many times have I said that during the years? If I get away from teaching the Bible, don't walk out of this place, run. Go to Acts chapter 17. We're just about done. Acts chapter 17. Praise the Lord. I am not trying to clean up anyone else's house. I'm here to clean up this house. I am not going out. I'm not going on a crusade. I'm not going on a campaign to get other people to agree with me. Nothing like that. But when I see consistent wrong doctrine, that's when the game is up. That's when it's up. Acts 17, in verse 10. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for my pastor. He keeps me safe, and that's what I'm here to do for you. Acts 17, and let's start in verse 10. Now watch this. You remember the Berean Christians? And it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And so Paul and Silas walk in, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to bring some doctrine. They're going to preach the word. But now there's going to be something said about these Berean Christians. In verse 11, these Berean Christians, or Jews, that were about to become Christians, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. More noble. What makes one believer more noble than the next believer? The scripture tells you. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Glory to God. I believe Family Church Jamestown and the family churches should be our and will stay churches that would be more after the Berean model. That we search the scriptures. Not because just someone said it. Not because of the size of their ministry. Not because the amount of money they have or the price of their house or whatever they drive. It doesn't matter how many books they've written.
We got to search the scriptures and determine these things are so. And the ministries that are going to be endorsed and are going to stand on these pulpits, you're going to be able to believe and trust on their doctrine. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Search the word. He said, they're more noble. And the thing is, at Thessalonica, they became Christians. We have two letters of the Thessalonians. All right? They were great people. But he says, over in Berea, they were more noble. Let's be the more noble church. I don't mean in a competition with churches and things like that, but let's be the church that searches the word. See, doctrine was important in Berea as opposed to Thessalonica. So it's like, okay, we'll just believe what you tell us. For what reason? You got to believe it for the word's sake. You better search those scriptures. You better know it is so. Not just take somebody's ministry for it. You cannot afford to take anyone's word for it because Jesus said either their doctrine is sand or it's rock. There's doctrines, and you got to determine, you know, is this something I can build my life on? Is it something that will please God? Is this how God told us to build? Is this what he told us? Is this what his word says? Amen. Search the scriptures. That's the third way to keep wrong doctrine out of your life. Number one, submit to God's will daily. Two, avoid teachers of false doctrine. Three, search the scriptures every day. I can't do your homework for you. All right. And here's the fourth and final thing as we'll get ready to close here. Go to 1 John chapter 4. You know, there's a lot of ministers, like I said, that are preaching their experiences. You know, saying that dreams and visions were given to them. And listen, I'm not here to refute that. Of course, the scriptures tell us in the last days, young men will dream, have visions, old men will dream dreams. Or did I reverse that? Which one is having the visions and the dreams? Is it the old man or the young man? They both, one's having visions, the other one's having dreams, all right? They're very similar. You remember over there in Acts chapter 2. And, of course, I believe in God-given visions. I believe in God-given dreams. But visions and dreams are not to be trusted over the word. You do not ask God for a dream. You do not ask God for a vision. If he gives one, the first thing you better do is open your Bible and make sure that it goes along with the Bible. A lot of ministers, you know, are saying, you know, this vision, this dream, I saw somebody in my vision, somebody in my dream, and this and that. Well, that isn't how you decide to follow somebody. Here's a fourth thing that you have to do to keep wrong doctrine out of your life is test the spirits. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. All right, and this is also, when it says every spirit, it's talking about people that are speaking. It's not just, how many of you know you're not going to show up in a service, or you're not going to turn on the radio somewhere or the TV or throw in a CD or read a book or something, and you're not going to see the demon doing the preaching. You know what I mean? It's going to come in the form of a person, and that's what he's talking about. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. That word try means to test whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How many false prophets? Many. What does that mean? There's a lot of people out there who the devil is trying to use their voice and use their influence to gain entrance into our life. Better be careful. You better test those spirits whether they are of God. Better look at the doctrine. You better search those scriptures daily to make sure that person teaching you is preaching the word. You better study to show yourself approved. Test the spirits. See, you cannot trust people, and you cannot trust experiences or impulses of their mind. God would not ask you to follow something that's false. He would not ask you to follow a false doctrine. He would not tell you to do something against his word. Now, can you bring verse 1 up in the Amplified Bible? It says, beloved, do not put faith in every spirit. What is that? That's exactly what I've been saying. Don't just take their word for it because they're sitting there with a title. Don't just take their word for it because they're standing there on TV or whatever.
Do not put your faith in every spirit, but prove and test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. Boy, it makes it very clear in the Word, doesn't it? You know, you're going to have to test these things, all right? And the way anything and everything passes the test. Boy, you know how important it is to know this Bible. If you don't know the truth, how will you know a lie? Because now the scriptures are telling you, you test the spirits. You know what I mean? And no, the Bible is not saying become suspicious jerks. The Bible did not say become a witch hunter and start thinking everyone is wrong except for you. All right? If this church ever takes on that heart, we're going to implode. You know, we're not the, you know, family church is not, you know, the church to end all churches. Family church isn't the only church with good doctrine. You know, family church isn't the only church doing great things for God. Praise the Lord. And so I totally refute that elitist mentality that every church, no doubt, would be tempted to have at some time or another. All right? Thank God for other churches. And don't be just suspicious because they're not your church. Be grateful for what God is doing in other places. Amen. Me and Pastor Jeff, we were together recently, and we were just taking a drive, you know, having some coffee, and he was telling me about this country church down by Akeley, Pennsylvania, that his family helped start way back in the day. And he said, yeah, want to go look at it? Yeah, sure. And so we drove up there, and a real beautiful, you know, country church up there, and there was a gentleman that was working on the yard and things. He's like, hey, come on over here. We got out, we started talking to him and things, and long story short, he started telling us his testimony, how he got saved. He was real troubled as a young man. He was in his mid-60s or whatever by then, but, you know, and he was telling us his testimony. He was telling how he had gotten sick. He had got diagnosed. Do you remember exactly what it was? It was a car accident, not sickness. It was a car accident. And long story short, he got dramatically healed. He said people in his church came and they prayed and laid hands on him, and God supernaturally healed him. And, you know, sometimes we just get thinking, you know, that isn't going on other places. Yes, it is. God will honor his word no matter where it is. If people will believe it, they'll rejoice in it. Amen. So don't ever get this idea that God isn't doing great things other places. He's doing a lot of great things a lot of places, all right? But just also at the same time, just don't be so simple in your ways where you just automatically trust anything and everything because, well, the minister said this, so I'm going to believe it. Well, that's good. If he or she's preaching the word, then that's just fine. But it's going to be your job to study, to show yourself approved. It's going to be your job to search the scriptures and to make sure what's being said is scriptural. You know, hence, you know, we have the wonderful days of technology where we can put it on the wall behind you. You know what I mean? So we want the scriptures to be, you know, front and center. Amen. But you're going to have to test the spirits. When something doesn't seem right, have you ever, man, you know, I'm not going to use any names. I remember I was up in Buffalo, and I was waiting to go on a TV show. They had asked me to host several of their national programs up there, and I did several of them, and it was fine and good. I always just thought, well, first of all, my first responsibilities are here. They wanted me, I was there one Friday a month, and they said, okay, we need to switch your days. We need to have you here every one Wednesday a month to host programs or whatever. And I said, I'm not going to be here on a Wednesday. I've got church. We have service. Well, it's national TV. I don't care. I don't care what. So many other pastors are like, well, you got to be on TV. I mean, what a great opportunity. No, 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 no. See, it's not about trying to be, you know, famous or something like that. It's about taking care of the people that God called you to. And they said, well, if you can't be here on Wednesdays, then we don't want you. I said, well, then you don't want me. See you later. And I never went back. Praise the Lord. It's just that simple. You're like, well, but this is national TV. I don't care. And so I did, you know, several of those shows, and now all of a sudden, the story that I was trying to tell got derailed. Where did I start with that? Someone help me out. Praise the Lord. Yes. I was going, yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. I believe in a, what?
Well, oh. Yeah. There was that. That's true. praise the Lord. What Pastor Brad was talking about there, I believe it's just coming back to me. What's that? Yes, my wife. That's why you need a good wife, men, right there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So I'm sitting there. I'm in the green room. I'm waiting to go out. And the program that's on before, of course, they beam from all these different places. So the studio in Buffalo will have like 1 hour a day. And it goes all over these, you know, all these satellites. And the TV program that was on before the show I was going to host was a taped program. I was going to host a live program. And so I'm sitting there, I'm watching what's on the screen there in front of me, and it was this very well-known minister who I did not know at the time. I did not know who this person was. It was the first time I ever saw his face. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, who is this preaching on TV? And I started listening to him, and what he was saying was right on the money. It was 100% true what he was saying at that moment. And as I listened, I mean, I got to listen to about 5 or 7 minutes. As I listened, some on the inside, this isn't right. There's something here with this man. And of course, I'm not going to make it public. I'm not going to go on a crusade. But as I listened to him preach, I'm like, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And I just said, well, okay. And I just listened to that or whatever and went and did the show. Well, weeks later, I found out who that gentleman was. And of course, I'm not going to use his name, but widely known all around the world and the leader of what has become known as the Extreme Grace Movement, which is a movement that has perverted the definition of grace and totally talk about false doctrine. But I mean, as I sat there and listened to it, even what he was saying at the time was true. But on the inside, the witness of the Spirit of God, on the inside, something's not right. Something is not right. Did I run off and tell everybody that? No. But I just put that on the back burner, did my homework, tested the spirits. Now, I'm not saying everything about his ministry is completely wrong. I'm just saying about the major point of his doctrine is definitely wrong. That grace message is wrong. It is off. It is not scriptural. All right? There's others that I've seen, you know, on Christian TV, big well-known names. And maybe even at the time that they're preaching, what they're preaching is just fine and good. But something on the inside, that's not right. That's not right. There's stuff there, you know, and I cannot override my conscience. You cannot ever override your conscience. When something is off, when you've been taught the word, you know, of course the Spirit will bear witness with you on the inside. Something is not right. You have to listen to that. You cannot just forego that. Why? You got to test the spirits. Amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Yes, you did. And you know what it's for? It's for the safety of this church and for the safety of your lives. Amen. And I just also want to reassure you that nothing has changed in the sense that I have always been a doctrine hawk. I will continue to be a doctrine hawk. Why? Because it's either the rock or it's the sand. It's either stand or fall. You will stand and fall or fall with your doctrine. And that's why we're going to stand, because you know what? Not about me here. You know what? It's not about you here. You know, it's about the Lord. It's about his word. It is about Bible doctrine. Amen. It's about safe teaching. It's about loving one another. It's not about witch hunts. It's not trying to say that we're the perfect church. But let's be like the Bereans. Let's search the scriptures to make sure these things are so. Amen. And let's not just be like the simple that Romans 16 warned us about. Well, we're sweet and no guile, but we just trust everything and everybody. Mm-mm. No way. I see ministers. I see pastors. I mean, they just float around in the body taking everybody's word for it. You can't do that. You're going to get hurt. Your church is going to get hurt. Say, well, Pastor, you're trying to talk about being divided all the time. No, I'm not talking about being divided at all. I'm talking about staying safe. Oh, it's division, it's division. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is a pastor's call and a responsibility to God to point these things out if and only in the place of their authority. I am not going to go out and try to correct anybody. I'm just going to keep this church safe and the Erie church safe. And I'm going to stand in the role that God called me. I'm not going to go beyond my authority. And just remember this, when it comes to time of keep correcting things and testing the spirits and searching the scriptures, your heart's got to be right. You got to do those things with the right motives. Do you know what I mean? Don't just say, well, I'm just going to be suspicious about everybody and start an investigation on every minister you ever hear, but you just need to know the word. If you'll do your homework in the Bible, it'll keep you safe. Did you get something out of this tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Let's just praise the Lord. We're going to get ready to dismiss. Father God, we just glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you are so faithful and good. Father, we just praise your holy name. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you are so faithful. Your word is true. Father, your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, you said not one jot or tittle would ever be removed from your word. And Father God, we thank you that that's the word we live by. Father, not by the doctrines of men, not by the doctrines of demons, but by the doctrine of the word of God. Father, our hearts and our motives have to always be correct. Our heart is not to divide anything. Our heart is not to hurt anybody. But Father, doctrine is what we're here to guard and protect. Lord, we know that unless we build your way, we build in vain. And so, Father, we thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We have nothing good without it. Nothing. Lord, we don't just blindly just accept everything that's said without searching the scriptures. We have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to be more noble. We have to build on the rock and not the sand. Father, we just love you and praise you. We just glorify you. We magnify you, Father. You're so faithful. And Father, we just love the fact that we have an opportunity to sow into the house of God here tonight. Father, every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, we love to support our local church. Father, we love to. We love to give to you. And Father, we just know that it serves the gospel here. And we just love you. And Father, we thank you that our future is bright. Father, we thank you that you meet all of our needs, pay all of the debts. You are faithful and good. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. Well, we heard a message from the Bible tonight. And again, it might not be spectacular. It might not be, entertaining. But it'll keep this place safe. It'll help your life. Amen. And folks, just know this, that we're very blessed in the family churches to have pastors at every one of these churches that have a good grip on the wheel. You know what I mean? You know, ones that are sold out to Bible doctrine, sold out to the call of God on their life, and they're not accepting the riffraff. Amen. So, Father God, we just love you. We praise you. Father, I command your blessing upon each one here tonight. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.